Our topic for tonight is Erev Yom Kippur, from Brisk to Breslov, and I'm going to try to show where Brisk ends and where Breslov begins. That's my goal. So we're looking at Hari Kedem, Simon Lamed Chet, B'mitzvas Achila B'Erev Yom Kippur. So let me just say, by way of introduction, there are many different dimensions to Erev Yom Kippur. There's Tefillah B'Mikvah, and then there's Atchirat Eschavero, there's Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur. There are many different, special, unique halachas and minhagim regarding Erev Yom Kippur. Lomi boy, we don't even have to talk about Kaporis, with a chicken, without a chicken, whatever your minig is. But there's no doubt in my mind, at least, that the central and unique mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur is Achila. Achila and Shasiya. And in Brisk, they speak very often, hey, do Yaakov, if you can give Yaakov a handout too, about the fact that the Rambam... The Rambam, who, as you know, in Brisk, the Rambam is the main codifier of Halacha, he omits mention of the mitzvah of eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur. Completely omits it in Hilchos Shvisas Asar. Now, Hilchos Shvisas Asar is dedicated to the laws of Yom Kippur, and we would anticipate that somewhere in Hilchos Shvisas Asar, the Rambam would have mentioned and codified that there's a mitzvah of eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur. And yet it's not there. That's kind of very strange.
Is it anywhere?
So Rav Soloveitchik found a Rambam somewhere, you'll never guess where, and only a Brisker could have dug up this Rambam. And this is a Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, of all places. And we're talking about the following issue in Halacha. If, let's say, you have a neder that comes in conflict with a mitzvah. And the Gemara distinguishes between a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabbanan. A neder will trump a mitzvah, but not a d'rabbanan. Why? Because that's called, and you may have learned it in Daf Yomi recently, if you happen to be doing Daf Yomi, Chachamim Asu Chizuk L'Devrem Yosir Mishel Torah. So the case that the Gemara addresses...
It's not also, we just had a matneh on Mashikata Vatorah, no?
Okay,
it's not called that, is it?
That's a different sugya. I don't want to confuse sugyas. So the Gemara addresses the following situation. The man took a neder that he will not eat on Mondays. Every Monday is a fast day for him by virtue of his neder. And that neder turned out to be on Yontif. In other words, Yontif fell out on a Monday. And the Torah commands him to eat. He's not allowed to fast. So we now have a head-on collision between Neder and Yontif. So the halacha is that because of the severity of Neder, it trumps Yontif.
Because it's Doraita.
Because Yontif is Doraita, and therefore he will fast on Yontif. However, if he took a Neder on Mondays, and it smacked up with Chanukah and Purim, so in such a case, the neder gives way to the mitzvah of Seudas Purim, for example. And Seudas Purim now overrides the neder. He will actually eat his Seudas Purim, even though he took a neder, then on Mondays he won't eat Achila Shtir. And the Gemara explains it because Chachamim Asu Chizuk L'Divreyem Yosef Michel Torah. Now listen carefully. When the Rambam wants to give examples of a clash between his neder on Mondays and a mitzvah achila d'oraisa, he gives the example not only of Yom Tov, but
Erev
Yom Kippur. This is the only place in the entire Rambam, 14 books of the Rambam, where the Rambam has a remez, some sort of indication of the mitzvah of achila d'oraisa on Erev Yom Kippur. as a Doraita.
There's not in Hilchot Asor. He doesn't even mention that you have to.
Doesn't even mention it, and that's the Pella, because how could the Rambam omit this mitzvah Doraisa, like the Lechem Mishnah's Medayik from the Rambam that this is a mitzvah Doraisa, the Rambam in the Dorah? How can he omit it in Ilcha Shvisas Asar when he dedicates himself to the laws of Yom Kippur? He doesn't have it in Minyan HaMitzvahs.
Sefer HaMitzvahs, yes?
He doesn't have it in Sefer HaMitzvahs. And he doesn't have it in Ilcha Shvisas Asar. He only has it through the back door in a case where there's a clash between a neder not to eat on Mondays and Erev Yom Kippur, if Erev Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday. I'm just giving you that example.
Monday is like indirect, but if he said, I'm making the never to eat matzah.
You know what, you're asking excellent questions, but let's see if we can just get by our focus on Erev Yom Kippur, and then you'll talk to me about matzah. Again, all I'm trying to prove to you, and it's not original, is that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom Kippur d'oraisa, to the extent to which it's overwhelmed by neder, as opposed to a mitzvah d'rabbanan of Chanukah Purim, where the mitzvah d'rabbanan overrides the neder. Again, we're not learning the Dharma now, Rabosai. So let's hold that question for a few minutes, if you don't mind. Let's hold that question for a few minutes just to get into the sugya. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, if you're a brisker and the Rambam is important to you, you wonder why the Rambam would have omitted the mitzvah of achila and shasi on Erev Yom Kippur. And based on this question, Rav Soloveitchik comes up with an unbelievable chiddush. Revolutionary chiddush. And this you'll see on your page, just give me a minute, on the left column on the bottom, where he quotes a Rambam in Perek Aleph Mehilcha Shvisas Asor, Halacha Dalet. And the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim V'hi Lishbos Bo Me'achila Ushasiya.
Where is it?
Again, let's go slow. If you have page, that's the question.
Fourth line down. Everybody has it. It's the fourth line down. It's on the front.
This page.
The paragraph starts near Lefize. Go about four or five lines down.
Again, I'm just trying to highlight so that we'll have time to achieve my goal tonight. Because, you know, I always seem to run out of time. So you'll see a Rambam that codifies another mitzvah. Lishbos bo me'achilu shasiyah. What does that mean, lishbos bo me'achilu shasiyah? What mitzvah is the Rambam talking about?
Tainis.
V'inisa.
Tainis, exactly. V'inisa. Not the mitzvah of achilu and shasiyah, but rather the mitzvah of abstaining from achilu and shasiyah on Yom Kippur. So now you can ask me, what did Rav Soloveitchik find in that Rambam? The Rambam's not talking about a mitzvah achila on Erev Yom Kippur.
It's the flip. Meaning eating on Erev Yom Kippur is mekayim the mitzvah, fasting on Yom Kippur.
Like the psukim, like the Gemara's dark drasha of the psukim.
Right, but again, we're not dealing with drushes here yet. Mm-hmm. We'll get to drushes.
No, I'm just trying to understand why he'd run
right
on that.
And I'm saying we'll get to the drushes in a minute, you know, ke'ilu and all that. Yeah. But before we get to the drushes, what I'd like you to focus on is the following. We divide up all of our mitzvahs into two categories. There are mitzvahs aseh and mitzvahs lo saseh. There are various rare occasions in which the aseh is not an aseh in and of itself, per se, but rather it's a method through which we fulfill the lo taseh. That's usually called a lav, a lav haba mechal essay, right? A lav haba mechal essay. So the lav is coming to strengthen the essay. Okay? Now you can have the flip side. You can have an essay that's coming to strengthen the lav. Now the emphasis here is on one single word in the Rambam, and that's the word lishbos. And I cannot overemphasize that word lishbos. If you happen to have a pen, or if you want to borrow my pen, please highlight the word lishbos. The Rambam could have said, Asur b'achilu shasiyah. The Rambam could have said, chayev limona miachilu shasiya. There are many different words that the Rambam could have chosen. Instead, he chose the word lishbos.
Because there's no malchus.
Just one second. Lishbos. Please understand that the emphasis here is on the word lishbos. Why? Because we're going to show how the Rambam uses the word lishbos in a different context, and we're going to compare the two. The other context is in Hilchos Shabbos. And that you'll see on the bottom, please listen carefully so I don't have to repeat myself, on the bottom of the right column of the same page we're on. Do we have that? Mm-hmm. And this is in the 24th parak of Hilchos Shabbos. And the Rambam talks about people who are batlonim. What does it mean, batlonim?
They don't work.
They don't work. They have no jobs. They're retirees. And the Rambam says about these guys, who are kol yomeim shovsim imalacha, even during the week they abstain from malacha. And the Rambam tries to explain why we tell them they're not allowed to walk in a certain way, they're not allowed to talk in a certain way, they're not allowed to move objects in a certain way. And all of this, says the Rambam, is because of the word shvisa, which is the noun of the verb lishbos. One of the 613 mitzvahs is lishbos on Shabbos, right? How does the pasuk say? Ubayom ashvi yishbos, tishbos. And the Rambam says, lefichach, therefore, shvisa, in order to accomplish shvisa, the Rambam says he needs a shvisa hanikeres. Please, you're going to have to underline those two words. That's the third line on the left column, on the bottom. Please underline. Shvisa hanikeres. And that's the Rambam's language. This is not something that Rav Soloveitchik invented. It's in the Rambam. What does shvisa hanikeres mean? The word shvisa means to stop, to terminate, lishbot. Things are going in a certain way until a certain moment of time, and then you change them. So what are you doing during the rest of the week? Unless you're a batlonim, one of the batlonim, you're involved in malacha. Comes Shabbos, and now you have a mitzvah of shvisa. What does shvisa mean? Terminate, desist, stop doing malacha. The word shvisa indicates that you're in a process, you're in a groove, and now you have to stop. It's like an abrupt stop. In the case of batlonim, how does he fulfill the mitzvah of shvisa, lishbos? He's a batlan, and he's not involved in malacha the whole week long. So what does shvisa on Shabbos mean to him? If shvisa means change your behavior pattern and terminate your avoda, your malacha, how could he do such a thing? Where do we see that he was shoveis? Where do we see that he stopped and he changed his behavior pattern? And he entered into a new behavior pattern, the mode of Shabbos. And the answer is, because we're going to tell this batlan that he has to desist from speaking a certain way, from walking a certain way, from moving objects in a certain way that he does during the week. And that's going to make his shvisa into a shvisa nikeres. Now supposing, this is the Rav's thesis, you were to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. You're not in the mood to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. What would you be lacking when you get to Yom Kippur?
Shvisa
nikeres. You would not have a shvisa nikeres.
The contrast.
So in order to set up a shvisa nikeres, which is the mitzvah of fasting, you have to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is not a mitzvah per se. It's only a way of achieving the abstention, but you need an abstention, bekumvase, to abstain from eating, by changing, by abruptly changing, by doing a shvisa.
Why is shvisa unique to Yom Kippur? I mean, we don't say on Pesach, you must.
You see, for that, we need Rabbi Nassan. That's what I'm going to try to prove to you. You see, this is what I'm going to try to prove to you, that Rav Soloveitchik is dealing with brisk. And therefore, you don't ask the question why. For that, you have to be a breslover. He followed. But take a look at the paragraph Ulefi Zeh. Again, I'm going to take a break just to make sure that we're all on the same page. We're on page Pei Aleph. Do we have it? Pei Aleph. And on the right column, there's a paragraph that starts, Ulefi Zeh. The Yisod Din Shal Achila Bi Erev Yom HaKippurim Ein on Mitzvah Achila. Again, I would ask you to underline and highlight those words. Ein on Mitzvah Achila. Really, what it means is that you're not allowed to fast. We can formulate it as a positive command of eating and drinking, but that would be really a mistake. It would be inaccurate. There is no mitzvah achil and shasiyah. There's only a mitzvah of avoiding fasting. Elaha iser shel tainis bi erev yom kippur. What do you accomplish by abstaining from tainis on erev yom kippur? Kidei shetehei shvisa nikeres. And if you skip a few words, aval ikar adin hu din isur. So you might call it an essay, but really it's an essay that's coming to strengthen a lav, to facilitate the ability to avoid an achila and shasiyah asura. So how do you set up a shvisa nikeres? Because again, the Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Shvisa Sosar, says, mitzvah saseh yesh b'yom ha-kippurim lishbos bo me'achila and shasiyah. Cease eating and drinking. You can only cease eating and drinking if what?
If you were eating and drinking.
If you were eating and drinking. Excellent.
Okay,
now I'm ready for comments and questions. I just had to get to that point that we have now an incredible chiddush, a radical change in our understanding. Like, for example, let's say a chola. I'm just going to test you, quiz you, to see if you understood what we said. A chola was given the ruling by a physician, an expert physician, that he has to eat on Yom Kippur. Would he have a mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur?
No.
Absolutely not. There is no mitzvah, not even for you or I, even for healthy people to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The only point is that if I'm going to fast on Yom Kippur, then I cannot make that fasting into a, as the Rambam calls it, a shvisa nikeres, unless I eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But if I'm not included in the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, I don't have the mitzvah, or shall we call it the abstention from tainus to eat on Erev Yom Kippur.
I would respectfully disagree. Because even if you eat and you eat with shiurim, you're limited with your eating. So I would say you have a mitzvah to still eat as much as
you want. Wait, are we talking about a choleli? I'm not sure where, just so yeah, my head will be.
If you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and someone who is allowed to eat but needs to follow the shiurim, how much you could eat, every few minutes.
No, in Brisk there are no shiurim. There's no such thing as shiurim.
Okay, but I'm saying
when my wife was pregnant, and she was about to give birth, I asked the Rav if she has to fast on Yom Kippur. He said to me, she has to fast. But if she sees the following symptoms, there's no Yom Kippur for her. Oh, you mean, Rebbe, that I should feed her every 9 minutes, blah, blah, blah? He got angry at me. And I knew he was going to get angry. And to this day, I'm still doing tshuva because I deliberately got my Rebbe angry. But I just wanted to hear those words from him. There is no Yom Kippur. And then he added the following. She should eat kisudas hashlomo amelech b'shaito. But again, let's just go over what we're saying. The mitzvah is to be shoves going into Yom Kippur. Meaning, I eat, I terminate my eating, and then I fulfill the mitzvah of being shoves me'achilu shasi on Yom Kippur. If on the other hand, I'll give you another question. Would you say Tachnun on Erev Yom Kippur? According to the Rav. Again, there may be 50 million other considerations here. We're not paskining Allah. I just want to see if you understand the concept of it.
Yeah.
I would say we should say Tachnun on Erev Yom Kippur. Because there's Erev Yom Kippur is not a yontif, where we eat and we drink, and let's hoopla. There's no hoopla on Erev Yom Kippur. I'll ask you another question. Should I begin the mitzvah? When is Yom Kippur this year? On a Tuesday
Wednesday,
night, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Should I begin my mitzvah of achila on Monday night?
No,
for sure not, because I can create a shvisa hanikeres by eating on the day of Yom Kippur. This is a big machlokas aposkim where there's any mitzvah of achila on the night going into Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, so this is part one, which is called brisk. And now we go on to part two, which is called brisk.
Are you not eating on Erev Yom Kippur just with the kazayis and the revias?
Yeah, I don't know. According to Rav Soloveitchik, should we be eating, you know, great meals and stuff like that? I guess what you want to do is you would eat, according to Rav Soloveitchik, what you would normally eat, so that now you could desist. By the way, please don't get me off on a tangent, but the first word in Rav Elazar HaKalir's kinnis for Tisha B'Av is Shavas. The first kinna of Rav Elazar HaKalir. So let's not get off on a tangent, but the Rav has a whole discussion about why Rav Elazar HaKalir uses the word Shavas. And just to give it to you in a nutshell, he says, nobody believed that the Churban HaBayis would come. They heard all the Nevi'im predicted, but they didn't believe it. And Shabbos, immediately, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, in any event...
Quick question, going the other way to Shabbos.
Yeah.
According to the, you know, understanding Shvitz and Keres. Then what about the min, you know, people have the minhag, adopt the, you know, by Chatzot on Friday, to stop doing any malacha, stop doing, you know, getting prepared for Shabbos. So, wouldn't that... counter that?
Yeah,
should we be working up or doing as much as I
would hope
to the beginning of Shabbat?
Yeah, I'd hope that they're involved in Malacha even past Chatzos. You know, because otherwise, it's not really a Shvisa Nikeres if like 6, 8, 10 hours go by from the time that you stop doing Malacha. There's no mitzvah to abstain from Malacha prematurely. On the contrary, if you have a minute to abstain from Malacha, it's only because you're getting into a period of time when it's Shabbos. Like Ben Ishmoshes. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we move on to the following issues. In the light of Brisk, we're saying that the mitzvah achila of Erev Yom Kippur is only a stepping stone to facilitate the tainus, the fasting, and the shvisa of achila and shesi on Yom Kippur. The day of Erev Yom Kippur and its Achil and Shasiyah really has no significance in and of itself. On the other hand, we should point out that there are poskim who say that women are exempt from this mitzvah. And the Netziv Mival Lajin says that the reason for that is because it's a mitzvah sasechus man groma. The Torah says, b'tshila chodesh, on the ninth day of Tishrei, that's when you're fasting, which the Gemara interprets as, you know, eating like ki'ilu, you're fasting, and so forth and so on. Now, if you go with Rav Soloveitchik's approach, then I have no doubt in my mind that women are obligated, as men are, in Achil and Shesiyah to set up a Shvisa Nikeres. There's no difference between a woman and a man as far as the fasting on Yom Kippur. Moreover, there are poskim who say that the mitzvah of Achila begins on the night going into Yom Kippur. Because that's also Chi, that's also the ninth. So, obvious. Oh, and let's go on and add that there are those poskim who say that even a chola. Again, if you want to read all the poskim, you'll go through, I'm just trying to highlight it. On the page, he quotes all these different poskim. That even a chola is obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So we do see that there are two approaches, right? Two roads that diverged in the yellow wood. And Rav Soloveitchik is one approach. And according to one approach of Rav Soloveitchik's approach, eating on Erev Yom Kippur is just a way of facilitating the fast of Yom Kippur. But according to another approach, there's actually a mitzvah asay. Again, the Rav is trying to explain the Rambam, who omits it. Right? He only has in the Nedarim when you have a clash of two Isurim. You have a clash of the Isur Neder with the Isur to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. But that's only an Isur to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. So what kowtows to what? Okay.
Sure, it's brought down though.
It what?
The mitzvah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why all the other shitas here that you'll have. In fact, some of the poskim are medayik from the fact that it says that the ninth day is ke'ilu and so forth. That means that there's something inherent in the ninth day. The ninth day is an entity unto itself. It's a machayev. it has, let's say, a din of yantiv, a mitzvah yantiv, and we eat and we drink, and this mitzvah women might be exempt from this mitzvah. We might want to start the mitzvah the night before. I mean, all this is a different approach. I'm just emphasizing this because this understanding that we presented tonight is based on the Rambam. But as I said, there are many, many other poskim who would insist that Erev Yom HaKippurim has significance unto itself. So I'd like to begin Rabbi Nassan, and my goal here is to piece together three different articles and essays of Rabbi Nassan with Hilchos Shabbos, number Zion, and it's Os Nun Aleph. So again, I can repeat myself over and over again. Again, in my volume, it's on the equivalent of page 83,
on the bottom, bottom left.
Excellent. Look at the way Rabbi Nassan analyzes this mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. He says the following. Oz chayovim kulam lis'anos umikodem bi'erev Yom Kippur mitzvah lechol ki ha'achila mechaberes haguf im ha'nefesh. He's talking about doing something that will connect the guf with the nefesh. Ki al yidei ha'achila. Look at the emphasis on achila, the inherent significance of achila. Nimshach chius laguf, man nefesh. So the nefesh is the vital part of man, but that vital part of man cannot maintain the life of the guf without achila. For who kium li ha'adam. So before we fast on Yom Kippur, and we sort of climb up to a level of nefesh without guf, we have to first create a chibur, a connection between guf and nefesh. And he says the following. There's something called Aleph. Okay, Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you'll notice, the shape of an Aleph is such that it has a yud on the top right, another yud on the top left, with a slanted vav in the middle. And in Likutei Maran of Rabbi Nachman, in number vav, in the first chelek, he has a whole long discussion about the Aleph. And basically, in the vision of Yechezkel HaNavi, man climbs up and reaches the highest level of the Aleph. And that's when he's called Adam. Again, if we had time, we'd go through the Psukim in Yechezkel. Now, Adam is made up of an Aleph and then a Dalet Mem. According to Rabbi Nassan, man reaches the highest level possible through tshuva, in which he seeks out and he craves a close relationship with the Almighty and he wants to return to the Almighty. When he achieves tshuva, then and only then is he called Adam. And Rabbi Nachman has a thesis, which again is very profound, that the Dalet Mem of the word Adam indicates that he is sanctifying his own dam. Dam is the nefesh of the person, the vitality of a person. And Rabbi Nachman is of the opinion that there are two parts to the heart. There's the right side and the left side. This is all based on the Arizal. And there's a constant battle between the dam in the right side and the dam in the left side. Man achieves the highest level when he overcomes his lust and his cravings, which emanate from the left side of the heart. And instead, the right side of the heart becomes prominent and subjugates the left side of the heart. That indicates that he has completely overcome and subjugated all those desires and cravings that want to bring him down. And that's what is tshuva. Rabbi Nachman goes a step further, and here I'm going to again ask you not to comment on this, because this is very, very profound and would require hours of study. That the word dam also means something else in this context. It means the changing of one's face from white or relative white to red. When does a person's face turn crimson red? Exactly, when he's humiliated. And according to Rabbi Nachman, true, genuine tshuva can only be achieved when you are humiliated. You have to undergo a process of busha in order to achieve tshuva. So that's also part of this word that we're taking apart, aleph and dam. Haguf, hi bechinas nekuda tachtona. Right, in the Tzuras HaAdam, the physical body of man, which is finite, material, and limited, is the lower end of the spectrum. Haneshama, on the other hand, the infinite soul of man, is bechinas nekuda helyona. So when you look at the aleph, the yud of the top aleph, otherwise called the nekuda on the tzad yamin, represents, or shall I say, manifests the level of neshama, and the yud on the bottom left of the aleph represents the guf. The vav in the middle represents the chibur, the ability to connect the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. And again, it has to go both ways. That's another discussion. So all this is hinted by the aleph. And basically, this is called Shamayim Va'aretz in the Gemara Sanhedrin, when the Pasuk in David Amel says, Yikarel Shamayim Me'al. And what is the Shamayim Me'al? That's the Neshama. Then the end of the Pasuk says, Ve'la Aretz. And the Gemara interprets that to refer to the Guf. So the Shamayim and Aretz are the Nekud El Yona, that's Shamayim, and the Nekud Tachtona, which is the Guf. And he says that the kavana sachila, and then skipping to the next paragraph, again, we don't have time to go through everything inside, he abchina zos, b'bchina sa'olef. When he has in mind to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, he wants to create a chibur between Shamayim and Aretz, between the Nekud Elyona of the Neshama and the Nekud Tachtona of the Guf. And that means he's bringing together the two Yudim of the Aleph. What does he have in the middle? Now, it's interesting. If you look at the shape of the slanted vav, which connects the yud on the top to the yud on the bottom, you will see that it doesn't exactly fit together, meaning there's part of it that extends beyond. And in the Kabbalah of the Arizal, that means there are two vavim. Now, what happens if we have a double vav? One part of the vav is connected to one yud, the other part of the vav is connected to another yud. What number do you end up with? You add 10 plus 6 and 10 plus 6. 32 communion lave, but it's also, believe it or not, the number of teeth that you have in your mouth. So that this double vav that connects the top with the bottom is reflected in achila.
Why is there two vavs? I don't understand. Isn't the whole point that there's one to connect the two? I miss where we got the two vavs.
Because there's one vav that takes you from top to bottom. That's the top layer of the vav.
Two directions. One
correct. And then the bottom slice of the vav. Again, you'd have to go through Lakuti Maran and Ian for this. And not only that, according to Kabbalah, how many different roads are there to Chachma? Chachma is the way that we connect the higher realms with the lower. There are 32. So this number 32 has a tremendous significance. Va'ikar achiyus nimshach el alev, which is again 32. And why do we have to make sure that we connect the top and the bottom, the higher and the lower, in order to achieve the lev, because the lev itself has two parts to it. And it's got the resichas hadamim, resicha meaning, you know, the passions of the left side of the heart, and then there's the right side of the heart that tries to, you know, diminish those passions, lower them, sort of cool them off, so that you can reach a higher level. Ve'ikar she'tzrichim lechel b'kedushas Yisrael. So on Erev Yom Kippur, before we shoot off to what? To Shamayim, right, to the highest levels, the Kud El Yona. And by the way, you and I know that Yom Kippur is always, we're always compared to what?
Malachim.
To Malachim. First, you have to achieve God's goal in this world. God's goal in this world is the chibur between Shamayim and Aretz, between Guf and Neshama. And therefore, there's a mitzvah of Achila B'Kedusha on Erev Yom Kippur. To connect it to. Kedei she'nimshach hachiyus me'aneshama laguf b'kedusha. And that's when we achieve the bechina of Adam. And that's what Hashem wants from us in this whole experience of Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, the connection between guf and neshama. And that's when we achieve tshuva, because through tshuva, we are able to sanctify and then reach the highest levels of the Nekud El Yona, and that means that we become the Aleph of Adam. And that's the 32 that are the Nesivas of Chochmah, and he goes on and on and on. The bottom line for my purpose here, my agenda, so to speak, is to prove to you that according to Rabbi Nassan, in this particular essay at least, we're going to see another essay, Achila on Erev Yom HaKippurim, I'm not going to tell you it's more important than fasting on Yom Kippur, but it's definitely on the same level. You know, you begin to understand why the Gemara uses the term Ki'ilu. I mean, this is such a great achievement, and this is when man reaches his glory by setting up and achieving this Achila B'Kedusha, and he reaches the number 32, and that's going to be the Chibur that connects the Yud on top with the Yud on the bottom. And at this point, what I'd like you to do is turn to Hilchus Mincha. And this will be on page
Kuf Tzadik Zayin.
Kuf Tzadik Zayin, the equivalent of page 393.
It's at the end, it's the last page.
So we're looking on the bottom right column of page Kuf Tzadik Zayin. Yeah, it took me, by the way, Howie, a long time to figure out in what order, what sequence I want to teach these pieces. So when I sent them to you for copying, I didn't have any clue what sequence I wanted to go with. But I'm leaving the punchline for the end, and that's Hilchus Rosh Hashanah. Okay, then? Which you'll have a little earlier in your hand. V'zeh b'chinas Erev Yom Kippur v'Yom Kippur. Again, Rav Osai, I want you to analyze this Chiddush of Rabbi Nassan in the light of our question whether there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur inherent in the day, significant unto itself as an end and a goal. Ki Yom HaKippurim hu b'chinas Olam Haba. Now here, Rabbi Nassan alludes to a concept which is very big in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. If you want to make a note of it, it's in Torah number Ayin Aleph, number 71 in the second Chelek. And that's called Ne'imus. Literally translated to English as pleasantness. There are two dimensions to Ne'imus in the context of the divine creation of the universe. One is the Ne'imus Atzma. Atzma means in and of itself, in its highest level. It's a supernal pleasantness that belongs to the divine being. Then there's Ne'imus down here on earth.
Please excuse me.
As the Ne'imus is Mishtalshel, as it comes down to the earth and takes on a different form. And that form are the pleasures and the delights of this world. For example, Ne'imus in our world, Bechinas Ne'imus, reflects itself in the love between a husband and a wife. That's a certain kind of ne'imus. It expresses itself in going out and enjoying nature. For those who like to go out and enjoy nature here in Efrat, it's beautiful during these months. It's just gorgeous. You just walk around. Especially from Dekel. That view in Dekel, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And you can have ne'imus in achila and shesia, not just in the flowers you smell and the besamim you smell, but also in the eating and the right. If you're a gourmet cook or you eat from the food of a gourmet cook, that's also called ne'imus. Now, do we want to enjoy ne'imus? Did God create ne'imus simply for us to reject ne'imus? Are we meant to be quote unquote nazirim, parshim? Well, there may be schools of thought that would advocate that. Perhaps the Ramchal would advocate that in Maseilas Yesharim. But that's not going to be the position of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson is not going to advocate in favor of Precious, with one exception. And that's going to be Yom Kippur. But for the rest of the year, Rabbi Nosson is going to advocate in taking the experience of Ne'imus down here on this earth, embracing it, and elevating it to the ultimate supernal pleasantness of ne'imus atzma. Atzma means everything in this physical world, according to the Bali Kabbalah, emanates from higher worlds. So all of ne'imus emanates from a higher world. She'ola ha'kovod im ha'noam v'lias islapshus b'chilu shesia. Okay, now Rabbi Nosson introduces another concept, which is called kavod. Kavod means when a person enjoys the world, but he attributes that enjoyment and that pleasure to the one above. For example, bringing children into the world is kavod if we do so for the purpose of declaring God's oneness, God's providence, God's control over the world, etc., etc. So what's going to happen now? On Yom Kippur, we're going to rise above the lower level of Ne'imus and shoot for the highest level of Ne'imus. Aval yefshal lizkos lazer, ki im al yidei mitzvas achila b'erev Yom Kippur, ki al yidei achila de kedusha ole kvodo yisparach. When we eat with the proper intention, and this applies the whole year round, Erev Yom Kippur is going to be the paradigm. We eat, we make a bracha before we eat, we wash our hands before we eat, we speak Divrei Torah at the meal, and we make a bracha after we finish the meal. All this is going to be an achila kedusha sha'ole le'elyon le'kvodo yisbarach. This is the precondition for Yom HaKippurim. You cannot enter into Yom HaKippurim without achieving the level of ne'imus and kavod that connects everything that we enjoy in this world with the higher world, where we recognize it's all a gift of the Almighty. The oz, now that we've achieved the achila of Erev Yom HaKippurim, zochim v'yom kadosh, on the holiest day of the year, Yom HaKippurim, legadil kvodo. And now he gets into another concept in Kabbalah called chamisha kolos. Now, there are five tefillos on Yom Kippur, and they parallel correspond to the five kolos. Those are the five kolos that express the ne'imus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through these kolos, he brings down ne'imus. Again, Rabbos, I just want to make an apology here. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg here. If we really had time, we would go back to number Ches, which is on page 392. And I'll just mention one or two highlights of that section because we're really running low on time. And I want to, the punchline, as I told you before, is in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, where he says that Yom Kippur is the tikkun of all chatoim. Right? Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper lechem al kol chatoseichem. And the opposite of tikkun in Yom Kippur is chovlim. Chovlim means mazikim. Those are the forces that try to bring us down, and we create them through our chatoim. But on Yom Kippur, we achieve slichas avonos, and we reach the highest level of noam, What Noam is that? That's the Ne'imus Atzma that we spoke about, the Noam HaElyon. We reach a level of Al Yedea Tainis HaKadosh Yom HaKippurim V'Mis'anevo B'Chamishi Nuyim. He reaches Ne'imus Atzma. Ne'imus Atzma is not a physical entity. It's the supernal delight or pleasantness up in...
Tanegal Hashem, the Ramchal would agree with.
Right, with Tanegal Hashem, and that's Yom Kippur. But he says, Be'erev Yom Kippur Tzvichim Lechol Ki Ikar HaBriya Hoysa B'Shvil Kovod Yisbar. How do we bring out the Kvod Shomayim? By embracing this world and all the aspects and dimensions of this world. That means the lower level of Ne'imus, which is the finite level of Ne'imus. And that's where we are Motzi Kvod Shomayim. By enjoying that Ne'imus. As David HaMelech say in L'David HaShem Ori, Lachsos B'Noam HaShem, right? We want to see the Noam of HaShem. And then he goes on to show you in the next paragraph that all tanugim of this world, all avos of this world, they all are a histalshus, they're all a physical expression or manifestation of the Ne'imus HaElyon. And on Yom HaKippurim, we're going to achieve the Ne'imus HaElyon, but we can only achieve that when we are able to achieve the goal of this world, which is the Kavod Hashem, and that we can only achieve through Achil and Shesia. So once again, just to summarize, here in Tfilas Mincha, just like we saw earlier in Hilchas Shabbos, Rabbi Nosson sees the Achil of Erev Yom Kippur as a significant, inherent, gigantic mitzvah in and of itself. So are we left in Breslov without risk? And here I want to show you something amazing in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. And with this we'll try to wrap it up. We're looking in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Chelek, or I should say, Chapter Beis. And we're on page Reish Dalet, which is the equivalent of page 407 on the right side of the page. It's number Vav. So we're in Chapter Beis of Rosh Hashanah, and we're in subsection Vav. Are you with it? With me on this? V'zeu shemitzvah lechol b'erev Yom HaKippur. Now at this point, of both sides, we are turning a corner. And that's why I wanted to leave this for last. In this presentation, I believe Rabbi Nosson is taking an entirely different approach to the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippur. And I wonder, Bechlal, whether it's really a mitzvah, according to this approach. And I've said to you many, many times that the beauty of Rabbi Nosson is that he's so creative. He is so original. He is out of the box. It's like Shivim Panim LaTorah. It's like, I remember when I was in the Rav Shia, he got stuck on a certain Sugyan Chulin. So my friend Rabbi Ilson said, Rebbe, but 5 years ago you said... And before Chaim Ilson could finish the sentence, the Rav banged on the table. And he said, you forget about what I said 5 years ago. You listen to what I say now. And if you ever ask the Rav Shaila, you'll never get the same answer twice, by definition. Rabbi Moshe Tendler from Muncie, Ol V'Shom, he supposedly said that he learned Chulin with the Rav twice, and he never repeated himself. Never repeated. I don't know if you guys appreciate that. I don't know. And in that sense, Rabbi Nosson is very similar. Okay, so let's, without all the introductions, let's cut to the chase. Rabbi Nosson presents what I call a psychological principle. And frankly, I never thought about this. But once he said it, I said, wow, that rings, that resonates. Ki ikar acheshek nasa al yedei hamaniyah. If you want to underline those words. The more that you're denied something, the greater is your desire to achieve that something. When I was dating, they used to call this play hard to get. Do you remember that phrase? Any of you American guys? No? I don't know if they still use it. I'm probably dating myself. So you date a girl and she plays hard to get. If she's easy to get, okay, you know, let's try something else, you know. But dafka, because she's hard to get. And then by the time she gives in, you don't even have time to think, hey, how did I fall into this? You know what I mean? But that's what he calls Iker Acheshik Nasal Yidei Amaniya. So what we have here is two opposites. On one polar extreme, we have Cheshek. On the other polar extreme, we have Menia. Menia is the opposite of Cheshek. Okay, now I'm going to ask you the following question, and I don't expect you to get the right answer, because I wouldn't have gotten the right answer. When you set up Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur, let's focus, for example, on Yom Kippur, is that going to be called Menia or Cheshek?
Menia.
Cheshek. That's why I told you.
Yom Kippur, yeah.
Yom Kippur represents the greatest intense cheshek that you can imagine.
Ah, for what?
For Olam Haba. For the Noam Ha'elyon that we spoke about before. For the Yud Ha'elyon in the Aleph. The craving of a Jew, and according to Breslov, it's every single Jew, has an absolute craving for Yom Kippur. What do I mean for Yom Kippur? To reach that highest level. But the problem is that whenever you have a tremendous cheshek to get closer to Hashem, we have to put a stop to it. Not a stop, that's not the word I want to use. Breaks. Do you know what I mean by breaks? We have to hold you back a little bit. For example, again, we're not learning this is elsewhere in Rabbi Nosson, but where was there cheshek without breaks? In the Torah. Nadav Aviv, exactly. Nadav Aviv, excellent. They had the incredible, you know, insatiable desire. Bikrov HaYakodesh. There were no breaks. Breaks is called in the language of the Arizal, Tzimtzum. Have you heard the word Tzimtzum? If there wasn't a Tzimtzum, for example, there would be endless, infinite Ein Sof. When a man climbs too high and he achieves like in one fell swoop, I think we spoke about this also once with regard to Shiluach HaKen.
Yeah, the closer you get, the further what that was.
Well, yeah, that was maybe in the same context, but what we said about sending away the mother bird to indicate that, you know, you can't just jump all the way to the Beit Sim and the Afrochim that we spoke about here also. With Yom Kippur, it's extremely dangerous. We have to proceed with very meticulous caution. We need a meniyah to the cheshek. The meniyah itself is to abstain from abstention. Do you follow what I'm saying? What does that mean? It's like a double negative. What does it mean to abstain? Right, Yom Kippur is abstention. Yom Kippur, I'm reaching the highest level of being a malach, of reaching out to the top yud, of reaching to the Norma Elyon, of reaching to Shamayim, to Olam Abba.
To make you eat on Erev Yom Kippur.
The negation of that is making you eat on Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? A whole different approach from Rabbi Nosson. Again, if we had time, we'd go through the entire text. Maybe I'll highlight a few of the main lines here. But he says that cheshek, that is tokakus, if it's not controlled, if it's not held back, if it's left to run amok, wild, endless, it's not going to be a good thing. You'll end up, you know, we would call it in our jargon, burnt out. You know what I mean by burnt out? And in his jargon, you will be swallowed up by the Ein Sof. And therefore, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Haba l'tayer misayin lo v'amrin lo hamtein. Here's a man who's coming to purify himself. Right? He wants to jump into the Arim Mikvah up in Tzfat. He can't wait to fast on Yom Kippur.
Where's that Gemara? Do you quote it here?
It's in Sanhedrin, also in Yuma. Hamtein. What does Hamtein mean? Slow down, my friend. Slow down, you move too fast. Bechinas Menia. We need a Menia. Otherwise, it's pure Cheshek. And if it's pure cheshek, then although his intentions are perfect, he wants to be metaken, but nimtza miskalkel. If he doesn't move with his cheshek, lekavil ba'adraga ubemida, according to measure and limitations, imakavil yosem eroilo, nisbata legamre. And here he quotes a mashal, ki ribuya shemen gorem lekibuya ner. Shemen is very combustible, is that the word? But if you pour too much shemen, it's going to extinguish the fire. Ki ein yachol lekabel ribuya ha'ar. Man doesn't have the right preparation to receive ribuy, the tremendous, intense R of Yom Kippur. And therefore, Omrim lo hamtein, we say to him, slow down. Bechinas menia, we have to be monea mimenu, we have to separate him in order to create the proper utensils, vessels, to receive that ribuy or kishavol etayr lasos dovish bekedusha kidei shelo lekabel or pisom below hadrogo ubemida. So I know, you know, in my life I came recently to Efrat. I mean, to me, this was going to be, you know, wow, you know, I'm gonna have ribuy or I'm gonna teach, I'm gonna inspire people. But I went through many menials. You know, there were all sorts of challenges. I mean, thanks to my good friends who helped me, you know, in so many different ways. Vayidei ha-menia. Now we go back to the original psychological principle. Nasa lo cheshek yosner. Can you imagine this, Rabbi Bosse? I'm going to tell you the following. That the more you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the more you're going to want to fast on Yom Kippur. Only a spiritual person can make that statement. A gluttonous person who eats, there's no end to the amount that he eats. But when it comes to someone who has the cheshek, the shtokakus, to come closer to Hashem, to break all the barriers, to reach out to Shamayim, to the Noma Elyon, as we discussed before, to the Ein Sof, it could be a kilkul instead of a tikkun. He needs tzimtum, he needs menia, so that he could receive that light. Al Kain in the next paragraph, Kodim Yom HaKippurim, Tzrichim Davka, Lechol, B'Erev Yom Kippur. Right, Ki B'Yom HaKippurim, Shetzorach Liskos, L'Nechshach Godol, right, his Cheshek is Yom HaKippurim that he wants to achieve, the Nekuda Al Yona. He says, he's going to get to a level of being Mavakel himself, he's completely lost and in infinity. Yefshel HaKabal Ora Godol, Shiyom HaKippurim. Okay, there are many Kabbalistic concepts here. Keser is the highest level you could reach. Ki ima yidei bitul gomer, avu bemes ha-bitul tzorchiyya bevchinas rotzo v'shov. Right, there's got to be a balance. Rotzo, he runs up higher, but shov, he goes down, up and down, up and down. Lekabal ha-or bevchinas kli ba-droga u-bemida. And that's why he's mechuyev to eat on Yom Kippur. Here, Rabosai, again, I wish we had more time. But here, I believe, is the overlap between Brisk and Breslin. Because at this point, the purpose and the goal of eating on Erev Yom HaKippurim is just to set up the proper tainus and inui of Yom HaKippurim when we can reach the highest levels. We need some sort of a menia because of the cheshek. But that mania is secondary. It's only there to facilitate the ultimate goal, which is the cheshek, to come closer, closer to Hashem, and to rise to higher and higher levels. So if you ask me bottom line, does Rav Nosson accept the Rav or not, I would say, just like we saw in the outset, there are two shitas about Erev Yom Kippur. Even within Rabbi Nosson, there are two shitas in Erev Yom Kippur. I would say Tzvei Dinim, they're opposite. They're you know, you might say Elu ve'Elu, but I would call it Tzvei Dinim. Okay then. Everyone should have a great Yom Kippur and a great Erev Yom Kippur. It should be meaningful for all of us.